Forever Dog.
Welcome to another episode of Best Show Bests, the greatest hits of the best show, with me, your host, Tom Sharpling. If you like what you hear, make sure you join us every Tuesday night on Twitch at 6 p.m. Pacific for a brand new episode of the Best Show, featuring callers, celebrity guests, live music, and plenty of surprises. Enjoy! Hello, Best Show.
What's up, Tom? Metal Tim in New Old Bridge, loving the show as always.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks so much.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you see the Better Call Saul finale last night?
I did not.
Hey, well, I won't give any spoilers, but I loved it. I thought it had the perfect ending. My only critique is that I wish there could have been even more timelines and flashbacks to keep track of over the last 7 years.
So apparently there were a fair amount of those, but for you, that was not enough.
No, I was really hoping there would be a flash sideways in sepia.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that.
I'm just crushing nuts. I'm just nitpicking.
You're doing what now?
Crushing nuts.
Okay. Why? I never heard that as a. It makes sense.
Well, it's like busting bees.
No, I followed it the whole time, but I just wasn't sure. I'm not yelling. Just talking.
Someone didn't have their Sanka.
Yeah, I didn't. You're right. I didn't have my...
You're more of a chock full of nuts guy.
I like a good cup of Folgers in the morning.
That's cool. That's cool. Hey, can I chime in on El Topic?
Oh, yeah, please do.
We're talking worst cover song, right?
Yes, worst cover songs.
All right. With all due respect, because I think he has written some of the best punk and hard rock songs of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Danzig's version of ZZ Top's power ballad "Rough Boy" will make you go through several things.
Rough Boy, which is an '80s ZZ Top song.
I think it's on Afterburner.
Okay. So
I think he plays all the instruments, including drums, on it. I think.
Wow, Danzig doing a Todd Rundgren or a Prince kind of move.
Absolutely. Oh yeah.
Okay, so that's at the top of your list or bottom of your list?
That's my click to not pick right now.
Okay.
Pick to not click.
Sure, your pick to not click.
Hey, you know it'll be a fun topic.
What's that?
Songs that start off great and then start sucking.
Songs that they start off great and then start to suck as they go on?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, okay. Like, what would be good? Like, what are you thinking with that one?
Off the top of my head, Making Time by The Action. It has that great beginning. Bow, 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 bow. And it kind of starts to suck. Lady Writer, Dire Straits, great guitar intro, and it starts to suck. Life's a Gas by the Ramones on that last record, great intro, it starts to suck. Don't You Want Me, Human League, don't, and it starts to suck.
Mm-hmm.
The song remains the same, the song. You know, it starts great and then starts to suck. Conversely, Over the Hills and Far Away by Led Zeppelin, a song that starts off sucking, and then gets good.
So you feel that the song Over the Hills and Far Away starts off, you think it starts off sucky. And
that's then, like Hey Lady, right?
Yeah, the one.
The Love I Need. Isn't that one?
That's what it's.
Yeah, I like when it kicks in.
No, you got it. You got the right one. I didn't think about that. Now what, call your name again was?
Metal Tim.
Metal Tim. Can I ask you about your name?
Oh yeah, well, you know, I've been into hard rock and metal most of my life. You know, I've been going to shows here in Jersey since probably the late 70s. Penalty Box or Rock Room, places like that. So I'm just kind of a lifer in this sort of genre. I don't know if this is cool to say, but do you want to hear some hot metal dish?
Do I want to hear some metal dish? Yeah.
Some hot metal dish, yeah.
Some hot metal dish, even more so. Well, yes, please.
Yeah, it's hot. First, I want to say, as a flagrant metalloid, I have massive respect for Eddie Trunk and his constant championing of hard rock and metal on his Sirius radio show, and of course, the VH1 Classic show, that metal show. You know, he's always doing his best to pump the music. But I want to be honest. At this point, you know, he's so saturated the entire metal market that we just expect Eddie will be introducing all the bands at pretty much every show we buy a ticket for the rest of our lives. And it's gotten old and people are starting to really grouse about it.
About him emceeing and kind of being a presence at...
Well, yes, it's almost like we see metal through Eddie Trunk's eyes at this point. You know, like it's through the Trunk filter.
Yeah, okay. I get it. That makes sense.
And it's just too much. And to be frank, Eddie's ego is out of control.
Okay. His ego's out of control.
Yes, it's like if Troy Duffy was on a first name basis with a member of Angel, Keel, and Dokken, you know?
Yeah, I get it completely. Tim or Metal Tim, what should I call you?
Metal Tim is fine.
Okay, Metal Tim. So you as a
his name dropping is just out of control too.
Like does he always manages Eddie Trunk, who for people who don't know hosts a metal radio show, hosted it in the New York area on radio for a long time, and now is on satellite radio with his show that is very, it's basically a talk show hosted by a metal obsessed guy in his mid 50s. Is that fair?
That's very accurate. You did forget the cargo shorts, though.
He wears cargo shorts very frequently.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah. So and he's always talking about who he's texting with, and it's just kind of turned people off. Mm-hmm. And like at these shows, it used to be, oh hey, there's Eddie Trunk, let's go over and have a beer with him, but now it's, oh no, here comes Eddie, and he's going to tell us about how he helped Rudy Sarzo wash his Camaro for 4 hours. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, he can definitely, he is not afraid of a name drop.
Well, he sure isn't. It's like you'd think that John 5 lives in his new Vegas apartment with him or something.
John 5, who is one of these guys who he mentions, who I'm not exactly sure who that is.
You know what? I'm not either. But I'm metal.
Your name is literally Metal Tim, and you're not exactly sure what John 5 does.
Still not sure. Still not sure if it's either, or is it John the 5th? I don't know. but sometimes I will. I'll prank Eddie. Don't tell anybody.
Okay.
Well, basically, like I'll call in and I'll say, "Hey, Eddie, I heard from very reliable sources that UFO are using backing tracks when they play live on this tour." He loses his cheese for like 20 minutes straight.
Like, because he gets so mad at certain things like that. Like.
Yes, yeah.
Like backing tracks. And, like, what is, when he gets mad, what it, I can imagine, because I'm listening, I don't get to see it. You've seen it, though, with your own eyes?
Right.
It does his face just get.
I've seen what?
Him get mad.
Oh, sometimes he'll have, like, a video feed up on YouTube that you can watch, and it's like, yeah, his face turns just red as, like, a Santa outfit. Oh, he's so furious.
Yeah, that's what I, because I
unload for 20 minutes. Voice goes up 2 octaves.
Mm-hmm. The sarcastic, smirky laugh starts entering the picture.
Do it.
I mean... I don't know what they're talking about. I mean,
that's it.
You're going to tell me that UFO are using backing tracks? That's not what we paid for. Like that. Is that that's what he does, right?
Oh, I thought that was Eddie.
Oh, no, that was me.
That was Eddie. I thought Eddie was in the studio. That was you?
That was me, Metal Tim.
Oh, my God. Wow. You should maybe go and do, like, a live show impersonating Eddie Trunk. I think a lot of people would pay to see that.
I mean, no offense. I don't know who would pay to see that. But, okay. I'm game.
I might, depending on if there was like a deal, a door deal or something, or like a drink deal.
Well, then right there, you're already, you suggested the thing, and even you need a little perk for you to go buy a ticket for it.
Yeah, as I was thinking about it while you were talking, I was just like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you started to doubt it mid suggestion.
It's like that Bee Gees song, I started an idea and then I kind of lost interest in it.
Yeah, that huge hit by the early Bee Gees. I started a... and then I lost interest partway through it.
I think it's on Lavender Sandbox. Is that what it's on? Lavender Sandcastle.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with the Bee Gees albums. I know the singles.
Oh, so another prank?
Yeah.
Somehow Eddie Trunk is a huge fan of Soul Asylum, but only post Twin Tone Soul Asylum, you know, when they got like really middle of the road in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I called his show once and I convinced him that Soul Asylum was only going to play their first two albums while they were out and Made to Be Broken. At this show he was going to MC in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost his sherbert.
Okay, he lost because they were not going to play the stuff he knows.
Yeah, he's freaking out. He's going, they're playing that weird stuff? I got to text Dave right now and tell him that nobody wants to hear that noise. They want to see you rocking that black acoustic.
Yeah, they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear early. I guess they'd want. I don't know. So wait. So you're. This is a prank you did, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he freaked out. So, but Tom, there's big news afoot.
What's that, Metal Tim?
There's a new Eddie in town.
Okay.
Yeah. So his name?
Yeah.
Is his real name. Jett Hardman. J-E-T-T, last name H-A-R-D-M-A-N, Hardman. That's his real name.
Jett Hardman.
This guy looks like if Jason Momoa was 40 pounds slimmer and into faster pussycat and Pretty Boy Floyd.
Wow, that sounds like that's a pretty cool sound. That's a pretty cool description.
Oh my God, and he oozes, you know, the sexual charisma that's on, you know, at a level of like Jagger or Kip Winger, Teddy Pendergrass, Matt Sorum, that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, he's got the it factor.
Yeah, and I mean that's the thing with that it factor. I've talked about this over the years. You either have it or you don't have it. And I mean, like you said, Teddy Pendergrass has it. Mick Jagger has it. Matt Sorum has it.
Yep.
And you can't learn it. You can't buy it.
No.
You got to just have it.
Yep. It's like Jerry Lewis says in that movie, you got it. You can't give it away.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had it.
Yeah, that was... It's a good movie.
The Jerk.
Great the Jerk. Wait, no, that's not The Jerk, is it? It is The Jerk.
I think it is, yeah. It is, yeah. He's walking around with the all I need is the paddle ball, all I need is this chair, all I need is whatever, and then he turns it at the mirror. He's got like the disco mirror, and he says, you've got it, you can't give it away.
Mm-hmm. That's when he was like, all I got is this paddle ball.
Right.
Wait.
Joe Walsh isn't in it.
Well, no, that was me doing a bad Jerry Lewis impression.
Oh, do Joe Walsh doing what's an iconic Jerry Lewis line that's not where are they regarding the donuts and hardly working.
Without doing Hey Lady, or I wonder if he ever sang that Led Zeppelin song you talked about. Hey Lady, you got the love I need.
I need this record. I need this to exist right now.
Jerry Lewis. Well, it might not, because he's no longer with us. Hey Lady, you got the love I need. Maybe more than enough. Where are they?
You got the lozenge too. Like you can hear the lozenge against like the mic.
On the clicking and clacking of the lozenge.
Yes.
Yeah. When
you know they were secrets too.
He had secrets. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. He might have had an endorsement with secrets.
I picture Jerry Lewis flipping. Where are my secrets? Like when he's backstage and serious, he would be a little twisted that his secrets.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
The only Joe Walsh thing I can think that would be for Jerry Lewis would be the line you said you didn't want to hear, but.
All right, do it. So I'll be the.
The
I'll
post
the
office.
Postal,
yeah.
Boss, okay,
okay, here we go.
Okay, and I'm filling out paperwork. I keep looking up. You're rubbing your index finger around the box of Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
It with you. Would you like a donut?
Where are they?
Really good. Really good.
Yeah. If only Joe Walsh had gotten that part in Hardly Working.
Right? Can you imagine?
Yeah, that would have been a whole other career. Could have been right when the Eagles were winding down. Right when the Eagles were winding down, Joe Walsh could have transitioned into comedy like that.
I love it. I love it. So getting back to Jet.
Yeah.
So the story goes that Jet was a DJ in Albuquerque when he interviewed Ozzy a few years ago. Sharon Osbourne was there, and she was just smitten by Jet. And so she becomes his manager, and he's basically been being groomed to be the new spokesman for metal and hard rock because he's so mind-blowingly delicious.
Okay. Makes sense.
It does, right? And so his name is already starting to appear on posters for upcoming shows by Rat, L.A. Guns, Bobby Blotzer's Rat, Warrant, Steve Riley's L.A. Guns, and Rick Thompson's Warrant, to name just a handful. So it's getting serious.
Even flyers for Rick Thompson's Warrant, huh?
Yes, yeah. So he's going to MC these shows, and everybody who is breathing air right now knows that Sharon does not like Eddie.
Okay.
And I don't know what happened. So, you know, not only is this new guy in town, but it's at the behest of his enemy. So it's a double whammy for Eddie.
Oh, no, that's got to really sting.
Yeah, I mean, he must feel exactly how that escaped inmate with two forks in his eyes felt when they took that photograph of him for the cover of the Scorpions' Blackout album.
Wait, that's not a painting?
No, it's a photograph. That guy had just escaped from a mental institution or a prison.
And who put the forks in his eyes, though? The hospital?
I think so. Yeah, it was like it was a very short-lived cataract treatment. It was called getting forkified.
Getting forkified.
Yeah.
I was almost positive the cover of that. Yeah. Okay. I was almost positive the cover of that Scorpions record was a painting, but it's a photo, eh?
It is, yes. It's a photograph, yeah.
Of a guy getting forkified.
Yeah. You know, the Blackout album was originally going to be called Double Whammy, but Klaus Meine, the Scorpion singer, and Fred Schneider were good friends, and Klaus knew that the B-52s were going to have an album out in a year called Whammy, so he said, all right, man, I'll change ours. It's pretty cool.
That's a pretty cool little tidbit you got there.
It is. So word is that when Eddie heard about Jet hosting these shows, he blew a gasket right out of his camo cargo shorts. Right out of it.
Well, literally?
It shot out of his cargo shorts.
Oh, I don't like that.
The gasket. No. And he was so mad. I heard he went into his office and one piece at a time smashed the entire set of Kiss dinnerware that Ace gave him at his wedding. Pretty serious.
That is extremely serious, because that sounds like a line that you don't cross unless you are ready to not come back from it.
Very rare, yeah.
Yeah. So,
all that stuff got all the saucers, all the teacups,
mm-hmm.
all smashed.
Oh, go ahead, Middleton.
Soon after that, Eddie was spotted at a local bar here, unloading to Jim Florentine about the whole thing. Like, he was really upset. I didn't hear it, but can you imagine what that conversation would be?
The conversation between Eddie Trunk and Jim Florentine?
Yeah. Like, how do you think that would go?
And what were they moaning? They were complaining about this whole Jet Hardman thing with Sharon Osbourne?
About Jet taking over his gigs. Sharon's behind it. He's been double-crossed.
Yeah, that would be pretty wild. It must have been pretty wild. I can only imagine what that would have sounded like.
Maybe something like this.
What do you think?
You want me to try?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I feel. I don't think I can bring both of these characters to life. Do you think?
Please.
Metal Tim. For you, I'm going to give it a shot. Okay, so Jim Florentine and Eddie Trunk.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. This, I'm trying to just. I respect metal more than anybody else. I mean, is there anybody else who likes metal more than I do? No, you know, you're the only person that talks about Ozzy. You're always talking about Ozzy has a new record, and you keep everybody up to speed on what Ozzy's up to. I don't know why Sharon would do that to you because she's married to Ozzy. I mean, who's talked more about J.K. Lee and Zach Wilde and all of these people than Ozzy? I talk about them more than anybody. You really do talk about Ozzy a lot, and that's my favorite thing about you. Like that? Does that sound anything like it?
Are they there?
They're not here. That's just me goofing around.
That wasn't... Are you shut up. That wasn't them?
No, that's me.
You should be... I don't know what you should be, but it you should be in some sort of like, I don't know, a TV program or some sort of film strip. I think you'd be great.
A TV program or a film strip. Sure. I'll check. I'll try them out. I'd like to be in a film strip or a TV show. Sure.
Got to start somewhere.
Right? You're right, Metal Tim.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a weird thing that Eddie Trunk is so like, he's because he's so imperious with his stuff, and he's kind of he really gives off those vibes. And just, I guess if he's feeling the heat now, that's very interesting.
Yeah, like a certain someone down in Mar-a-Lardo, as Michael Cohen says.
In where?
Mar-a-Lardo.
Okay. Oh, okay. I get who you're saying.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess you're wondering like how I know about like early Soul Asylum and stuff, right?
I was actually wondering because you're a metal guy also, right?
Right.
And you know, Eddie. Yeah, I it's such an interesting thing that Soul Asylum have some currency in the metal world. How?
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. But, like, I do. I only know that early stuff because I worked at the Music Connection in Forkbridge for most of the 80s and the early 90s. Ah. It was a great store. I don't know if you ever went there.
Great store.
I was the metal buyer.
You were the metal buyer.
I was
okay.
The metal buyer, but, yeah. But we all took turns spinning records. So, you know, I heard all that stuff. I heard all kinds of music that I would never have been exposed to. And we had so many cool in-stores there, too. It was great. Oh, my God.
Like, what were some of the cool in-stores you had?
Well, like, we had, gosh, let me think. Squirrel Bait, Anthrax, the Tripes, Tesla, the Individuals, DBs. Overkill, Gut Bank, Testament, Launch Hands, Megadeth, Delfuegos, Cinderella, Sorry.
Wow, that's Sorry, the Tripes, and Cinderella.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff, you know, and we had so many of these things that at one point our manager double booked in stores for both Suicidal Tendencies and the Australian band The Church. Wild.
It was a double booking.
They both showed up at the same time, not knowing the other was going to be there.
That's a strange crowd.
Yeah. You'd think both bands would hate each other, right?
You'd think, yeah.
News for you. You're never going to believe it. They got on like a hose on fire.
Suicidal tendencies and the church.
Yeah, yeah. They became such good friends that Steve Kilby ended up doing backup vocals on a lot of Suicidal's 1989 album, Controlled by Hatred, Feel Like S Hit, Deja Vu, which I still think is a title that rolls right off the tongue.
That is a weird one. That's a weird one, Metal Tim. I didn't know that the church, I couldn't picture, you said Steve Kilby was on it?
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah, yeah. And those guys, they're still great friends, and they still have cookouts whenever they're in the same town. It's pretty cool.
That the church and Suicidal Tendencies have cookouts together.
Yes, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. We also did a great in-store with, you remember Diamanda Galas?
Of course.
We ended up dating for a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
It was really cool. But, you know, at the end of the day, we were from different worlds. You know, she'd get frustrated that I didn't want to go to all these weird art installations, and I was hurt that she couldn't name one member of Entombed.
Yeah, I could see how that would irk the both of you.
Yeah, yeah. So we just agreed to call it a day, you know?
Sure, just be friends.
Yeah, you know, but it's cool. Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because I was a drummer back then. I was in a local band called Thunder Thruster.
Thunder Thruster.
Yeah.
And what did Thunder Thruster sound like?
We only had one song that got a little bit of airplay on, I think it was TSR back in the day. And it was basically, you know, a lot of those bands had theme songs back then. Like you would have Iron Maiden had a song called Iron Maiden, and who else? There's a bunch. There's got to be a bunch of other ones.
Iron Maiden, Black Sabbath had Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath, exactly, yes. So we had a song called Thunder Thruster, and it was like, it's a thunder thruster, it's a real molecule buster. That was the only thing we could think of to rhyme with it that made sense. So that was the best we could do, but, you know, so we weren't great. But anyway, in 1991, we have an in-store with Pavement. So they're just starting to, you know, to get some, you know, to get it rolling, getting that... that indie cred notice. And so their drummer was this very wild guy named Gary, and he was old, he was a little bit older, and he was playing around with our staple gun in the back room, and, you know, he was just kind of joking around stapling stuff, and he started stapling his pants to his leg, which was, you know, pretty stupid, but he somehow managed to staple into an artery in his leg. And exactly what you think happened. It was just like a spray. He gets taken to the hospital immediately, you know, so he's in intensive care, and they're like, we need a drummer, we can't play. And earlier in the day I told them that I was a drummer, and so Pavement asked me to fill in.
Okay, so you
and
filled it.
I couldn't do it.
You couldn't?
No, I mean, how could I? They wouldn't let me bring two bass drums and my China cymbal to their show at Maxwell's that night.
Well, I mean, it's not exactly their style. I could see why.
No, I think they could have really benefited from my double bass drum galloping. I think, you know?
that would kind of fit like their songs.
Yeah, that and but the big thing that was like a no for them was I also wanted them to do this song I'd just written called "I'm Here to Party, But I'm Also Here to." Probably had to bleep that last word.
Yeah, that was not cool. Then they wouldn't play that song. They wouldn't let you play that song.
No, I pulled the lyrics out of my wallet that I've been carrying in my wallet for a long time, and they didn't like it. So that was the end of that. But you know, we had some pretty cool customers over the years at the store. Very cool.
Like who?
We had Snake Sabo from Skid Row. The guys from Adrenaline OD stopped by. Morton Downey Jr. Some of the dudes from Kool and the Gang, Morton Downey Sr., Stephen Thurston from the Dim Stars, Morton Downey III, Bruce Springsteen would come by.
Really?
Quite often. Yeah.
What was that like?
Yeah. Very interesting cat. Was really curious about all kinds of music. Wasn't really into the super hard stuff. He would buy... Like he'd pick up an AC/DC record or the Cult, but I could never get him to check out stuff like Creator's Pleasure to Kill or Cannibal Corpse is Eaten Back to Life.
Mm-hmm. You just couldn't get him to check that stuff out.
No. Like, it was like I showed him the cover and it was just like, yeah, I don't know if that's for me or not. I think Patty would really not be into me coming home with that. You know, yeah. Hey, fair enough, right?
Yeah, exactly. I get it. Different styles.
But one funny thing about Bruce, he would, without fail, not be able to find his wallet when he got to the counter, and then he'd accuse us of taking it. Huh. Or anything like that?
I have heard there was a kind of a rash of that going around here for a little bit on the show a couple weeks ago.
I think it's called, I think the technical name is walletitis, which is weird because to me that infers that you're afraid of the wallet.
Yes, that's what I would think. That would be for somebody who had a fear of wallets.
Yes, which I do.
Oh, so you do literally have walletitis.
Everyone in my family has it.
But, oh, okay. Well, that's a... Everyone?
Like a joke that... That was like a cheapskate joke. Basically, when it comes time to pay, none of us can find our wallet.
Sure. Yeah, and that's a good one. That's a pretty... Okay. All right, Metal Tim. That's a funny one. That's funny.
It is. So he, you know, there'd be this big scene. He'd storm out, and then... have Patty come back to the store, tell us Bruce found the wallet, and then she'd buy all the stuff that he left at the counter when he stormed out. And she'd always ask, "You guys are cool, right?" You know, meaning the employees and Bruce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and we'd say, "Of course, because we liked Bruce."
So, yeah.
Just a weird thing. And then he'd show up to the store the next week acting like nothing happened, and then it would happen all over again. And then after the sixth time, we were kind of into it because we thought it might be some sort of art project.
It's a pretty severe thing, honestly, for somebody to lose their cool to that degree.
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
And Metal. Do it over and over again. Very, very strange. Speaking of strange, guys with all over the map tastes, we had this one guy... I never knew his name, but we'd call him Half Cool.
Half Cool?
Yeah, because he'd buy stuff like Hooser Du, Sonic Youth, and Yola Tango, but he'd also buy like Blamage, Simple Minds, Marshall Crenshaw.
Yeah, Half Cool, eh? That might have been...
Yeah, weird stuff, and he was all... He was always asking if we had any Wacky Package related records.
Yeah, that was me.
And then he'd start. It was you?
That was me. And then I'd start what? Go ahead.
You'd start pitching ideas for Wacky Package songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget them. The Ballad of Captain Crud.
Ballad of Captain Crud.
Crying in my apple jerk. Drinking gin and squelches ape juice. She took everything, even my Crest toothpaste. Meet me at Blob Evans. Chewing on a slime gym. What else was there? Eyes like Folgers coffee. You're as sweet as log cave-in syrup. I'll be over as quick as minute lice. What else was there? I'm going to stick to you like screech tape. I'm going to wash your mouth with vile soap.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But the joke's on me, though, because you did get crying in my apple jerks on that second-to-last Myrtle Haggard album.
I did. If you would have seen, I did meet him backstage at a show. Yeah.
What was he like?
He said to me, he said, "You the Apple Jerks kid?" And I was like, yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And he goes, "That's what I thought." And then walked away.
Did he say thank you? Or
no, he just said, "That's what I thought."
Didn't say anything
about... He said, "That's what I thought."
Well, that's actually, from what I hear about the Hag, that's an ultimate compliment because he usually kicked guys in the stomach.
Yeah, I was thankfully not kicked in the stomach. I was hoping I could convince him to do, I wanted to do a song called Kami Chameleon, which would be to the tune of Karma Chameleon, but it was for Kami Cleanser, which was one of the famous wacky packages.
I like that. I
never got to even pitch it to him.
Well,
yeah. Those are the frustrating ones, Metal Tim.
They are. And but so funny. You had such weird taste. It was like you liked the Swans as much as R.E.M. and Winter Hours. It really boggles the mime.
Really does boggle the mime.
Yeah. Oh, you know, speaking of R.E.M. and Winter Hours.
Yeah.
You're the only person I can ask this of. Do you have a memory at all of an incredibly niche porno film from the mid-80s called Mr. Bone Jangles?
Do I have any recollection? No, I don't.
Well, it was about a guitar player in a jangle pop band called The Strum, who takes on various lovers while he's on tour.
Mm-hmm.
And the guitarist's name was Peter Buck Naked. Remember this?
It's not ringing a bell.
Okay, well, you have one guess as to what he would wear in his love scenes.
And his name was what again? Peter Buck Naked.
Peter Buck, yes.
What? What was he wearing?
Black vest.
And?
That's it.
That's it. Just a black vest.
Yes. Yeah. He only made one other erotic film.
Okay. What would you do? You know anything about it?
Well, it was a porn version of Popeye.
Uh-huh.
It was called Popeye.
What was it called? Hello?
You hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah.
I said it twice already.
One more time.
Popeye.
Oh, okay. I wish I didn't hear it, honestly.
I know. And you're going to wish you hadn't heard what his catchphrase was, too.
I don't want to know his catchphrase.
Well, Popeye, he had, you know, I am what I am.
Yeah.
Popeye's was you might have had to bleep a couple of those words.
Yeah, yep. That's Again, wish I didn't know it.
I know, but like knowledge is power, and you're very powerful now. Oh no.
What's going on, Metal Tim?
Well, I guess what they say about the best show being the preferred podcast of America's soon-to-be second-tier metal satellite radios is true.
Why? What's going on?
Eddie Trunk must have heard me cracking wise, and he's shown up at my yurt. I live in a yurt. That's just there is to it.
Sure.
And he's here to exact revenge upon my exposed haunches.
Well, can you cover your haunches?
I can't. I don't even have electricity in this yurt. I do have a water cot, though.
You have a water cot.
I do, yes.
Well, hide behind your water cot.
Too thin. I can't. It's too small. Oh no. Eddie's livid. He's standing in my front yard, and he put a bunch of Mountain Dew cans in a double XL five finger death punch T-shirt, and he's swinging it over his head like a. It's a weapon, just like in that fight scene in that Sean Penn film Bad Boys, where you can see a cameraman for a full 2 seconds. Oh my God. Oh, I'm so scared. Oh no. Oh, I got stuck up, Tom, right? I got a man up, right?
Well, just be strong. I don't know what to tell you.
No, I'm going. All right. All right. Hike up them cargo shorts, Ed, because Timmy's going to go full wacko on your ass.
There you go.
Wacko was the drummer for 80s UK metal pioneers Raven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tom, I'm also here to teach.
Well, I appreciate it. As somebody who's a forever student, I appreciate it. Hello? I think we lost Metal Tim. I think Eddie Trunk got him.
The Best Show is produced in partnership with the Forever Dog Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Tom Sharpling and features John Worster, Michael Lisk, Jason Gore, and Pat Byrne. The show is produced and written by Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Michael Lisk, Brett Davis, John Worster, and Tom Sharpling. The Best Show is executive produced by Tom Sharpling, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Co-executive produced by Jason Gore and Pat Burns, segment producer Michael Lisk. The show is engineered and mastered by Andrew Gleason and Wesley Knapp. Graphic design, video editing, and social media by Brett Davis. Website and technical support by Martine Sellis. And the show is recorded at Forever Dog Studios in Los Angeles. Support The Best Show on Patreon over at patreon.com/thebestshow. And follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Best Show for Life. That's Best Show number 4 Life. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.